More companies are aligning themselves with social causes in a bid to appear socially conscious. However, these companies are not always fully backing the cause they say they support. In some instances, they only grab onto an idea to turn a profit, but don't actually support the cause at all. This is known as, quote, woke washing. Elizabeth Castillo is a professor at ASU's College of Integrative Sciences and Arts, and she's looked at this company behavior. Our co-host Mark Brody sat down with her and started off by asking her to define what woke washing is and when it happens.
So woke washing, I would call them posers, company that jump on the bandwagon of this do-good image when it's convenient and when there's traction, but the rest of the time they don't care about that issue.
How prevalent is it?
I would say it's fairly prevalent. Companies, for example, during Pride Month, slapping a rainbow flag on the sticker of their product when they don't support the issue the rest of the year.
At what point did consumers start caring about stands that their companies took or social or political positions their companies took, things like that?
I'd say there's always been a small percentage of consumers that cared, but it's with the advent of social media where the message and the woke washing issues can be magnified exponentially. So I'd say it's been in the last 3 years that it's really taken off exponentially.
It sort of took things from like a letter writing campaign or word of mouth campaign if somebody was concerned about something to being able to share it with literally millions of people in seconds.
Right. And then they share it with millions of people. Exactly, Mark.
So if I'm a company and I want to try to do the right thing in some capacity, be it environmental or LGBTQ rights or equal pay, something like that, how far do I have to go in terms of doing something good but not maybe being able to do everything and thus being accused of woke washing?
Mm-hmm. So I would say there's a spectrum of a degree of involvement. There's some companies like Televerde here who have built their whole business model around working with disenfranchised populations. They work with the women in Perryville, teaching them telecommunications.
At the prison.
At the prison, and teaching them telecommunication skills. And then upon their release, they become employees of the company and have worked their way up. So that's probably the highest level. But on a more moderate level, companies can take issues that they really care about and then listen to their stakeholders about how they can engage meaningfully. It's like the Escher hands drawing each other. The community has to be able to inform the business's actions.
When you talk about the community and stakeholders, though, I mean, how broad a group does that have to be, or how broad a group should that be if a company really wants to make a difference as opposed to just, you know, slapping a sticker on something?
Well, in an ideal world, we would say, oh, the whole community, right? But in practice, it has to be stakeholders that are meaningfully engaged with a company. So usually that starts with employees. And the advantage of that is the employees are on the ground and involved in the community. They know what the issues are versus a PR or marketing department seeing what's going to be the shiny object this month.
You have done some work on the idea of businesses and community members really being able to get some metrics in terms of how firms are doing in terms of actually doing the things that they say they're going to do. How easy or difficult is it to actually measure that?
It's a lot easier than people think. I think it's a fantasy we put on our mind that it's impossible. Everything can be measured. It's just a matter of finding out what is the right meaningful metric for you. So one that I think is universal is employee engagement. What kind of culture do you have in your organization? Are your employees happy to be there, or is it a toxic environment? There are all sorts of cultural surveys. Are businesses using those? And if I was an investor, that's one of the things I would be looking at to see, are the employees happy and treated well?
Do you find that community members and, as you referred to them earlier, stakeholders look at that kind of data before they make a determination? This company, yes, they're doing the right thing, or no, they're just kind of posers?
I think there's a certain investor group that does look at the metrics carefully. I think for the social media crowd that's looking at what their friends are saying, they're not as devoted to metrics. But if you really want to dig down to who is legitimately working on an issue versus who is posing, look at their metrics and what they report on. That will tell you a lot.
Do you see any reason why companies will turn away at some point from some of these social issues and questions? And for those that don't, for consumers and others to continue trying to hold their feet to the fire?
I think if they turn away from the social issues, they're doing so at their own peril, because that is increasingly what consumers are demanding from businesses. And so businesses have to pay attention in order to have a viable business model.
That was our co-host Mark Brody speaking with ASU's Elizabeth Castillo, and you are listening to the show.